Revelation 22:16 says, I am the root and offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star. Those are the words of Jesus. Jesus is the morning star. And that is the title of our cantata that we'd like to present to you. Please listen to the words of the songs as they're sung and as a narration. We trust it'll be a blessing to you.
God's chosen people as they waited the promised Messiah. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel.
The endless despair of bondage enveloped the children of Israel for generations. Yet they held to the promise that God's chosen one would someday come to set them free, releasing them from the hopelessness of their long dark night. And so they waited for the morning star to rise.
The sun shall no more be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory.
In accordance with the perfect plan of God, the time came for the Messiah to be born. The angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary.
And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David.
The angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost.
All of this took place to fulfill the prophecies of old, for Mary and Joseph had been divinely chosen by God.
You shall bear the Son of the Most High.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so what was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
This fulfilled the prophecy of Micah. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel.
Shine the everlasting light.
the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid.
And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
To pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
Waited for a sign, a prophet.
God's promise had been fulfilled. The light of the world had come. The morning star had risen.
The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined.
In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star.
Jesus also said, Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
Thank you.
thank you, choir. I'm a little worn out. You say, well, what are you going to do now? Well, we're going to preach a little bit, okay? So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me. Let's start the book of Revelation. We started there earlier. Morning star. I want you to think about the morning star for a second. Jesus said, I am the morning star. Can I ask a question? How many of you have ever seen a morning star? How many, maybe you knew what it was and you knew you were looking at it. Two people. You know, I remember I used to travel across country sometime in the middle of the night. We would be crazy college students and we'd be driving back. We'd drive all night through. We'd switch off. And I don't recommend that to anybody. I remember driving sometime at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning and about falling asleep. Of course, my kids tell me right now I usually fall asleep when I'm driving. But I remember driving through the pitch black dark of the night. And then I remember watching the sunrise. Now, I'm not an early morning person. I always thought that the sun just came up just like that. I didn't know it came up gradually, you know, okay? And to see, I'm joking. I knew it did. But to see, sometimes to experience the sunrise is an amazing thing. Because as, you know, we were driving there in a car and it was dark, pretty soon the sky would get a little lighter. You could just see it get a little lighter. No sun rays yet, but the sky getting a little lighter. And then pretty soon you'd see some rays appearing over the horizon and then the light would come up. Now, if I knew now what I should have known then, I would have been looking for that morning star. Because they say the morning star is actually planet Venus. Now, you know, Bible never mentions that. But it's actually planet Venus now that we discover what everything is in the sky and so forth. And it's seen in the eastern sky just before dawn. One of the brightest objects in the night sky. Back in the day when, you know, they would observe the stars more and such. They said, set against a very dark sky, it could appear very bright. A train engineer one time reported that he thought it was the light of another locomotive coming down the track. All right? Now, I don't think it was ever as bright as you get pictures on Christmas cards where you got that bright star shining in the sky. But yet, it is a bright star foretelling the coming of the dawn. All right? And so when it says Christ is the morning star, that means he is the first light. The first light, and the dawn is soon approaching of redemption that is coming to the world. And so Christ is the morning star. And so the morning star speaks of light. Light coming into our world. And so this morning I want to think just for a few minutes about another star and about another light that came. And that was what the wise men saw. So turn with me. I told you to look in Revelation chapter 22, and that's where it says Jesus calls himself the bright and morning star. But turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 2. Let's think about the wise men just for a minute. And we're going to talk more about this tonight. We're going to look at the prophecy that was read here this morning regarding the star that would come. And so come back tonight, and we'll talk more about the star and the prophecy there. But you know, these wise men saw the star, didn't they? They saw the light. Now, I don't think it was the morning star that they saw, because this star was very different. This star, I believe, was miraculous, because it actually moved, all right? And they followed it. The morning star doesn't move. It's just a star, a bright star in the sky. It's a symbolic of Christ coming and hope and the dawn of redemption. But in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, I read, the wise men came to Jerusalem, and they said, where is he that's born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Worship him. And if you look down with me, skip to verse 9. They talk to Herod for a little bit. Herod tells them to go search Bethlehem. And that I might come and worship him also, of course, speaking sarcastically. But verse 9, it says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, there it is again, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now, I believe what had happened was they actually had saw the star in the east, up in the sky. They saw that as foretelling the birth of a king, and so they traveled naturally to the capital, Jerusalem. There in the capital, they inquired about a king. I don't really think they followed the star across the desert, as some people believe they did. I think they saw it. because it says when they saw the star, which they saw in the east, in the past tense. All right, it says in verse 9. But they traveled across the desert, went to Jerusalem, started inquiring about a king. Herod says, I don't know about any king. And if you find him, bring me word again. I may worship him also, want to kill him. And so he sent him on to Bethlehem, which the scribes had said would be the birthplace of the Messiah. And at that point, when they left Jerusalem, they saw that star again. And this time, the star moved. Now, I always try to envision this. You see a star, it must have been very low on the horizon, set against a very dark sky, and they moved, and that thing directed them. You know, it didn't see it in the east. Actually, it moved from, if I get my directions right, from north to south, taking them to Bethlehem. Till it went right over, not the manger scene, get the story correct, although we see that depicted on many cards and movies and such in place. The star went over a house. Actually, this is 2 years later, where the baby was. Well, look what they did in verse 10. When they saw the star, they, what's the next word, class? Rejoiced. And then not only rejoiced, but they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So they, it's like double, 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 double rejoice. They rejoice with joy, not only with joy, but with great joy, but with exceeding great joy. You ever have some exceeding great joy? Maybe when your team wins or something. When the Steelers win, do you rejoice with exceeding great joy? I like to videotape some of you guys when Steelers score a touchdown to win the game. You don't see me rejoicing much with the Eagles right now, so I'll just tell you that, all right? But you know, I see you rejoice. Ball games, man, you're going crazy. You're standing up, you're cheering, you're hollering. Hey, these wise men were rejoicing with exceeding great joy. By the way, isn't it a shame that we can sit in church bored to tears about the greatest news there ever was, eternal life that we can have in heaven, and but yet we hoop and holler at a ball game and think that's just the greatest thing in the world and bored to tears at church. Shame on us, really. It really is. These wise men rejoice. Let me just talk to you a few minutes about rejoicing at the light, rejoicing in the light. Where does that joy come from? By the way, you see joy all through the Christmas story. Mary said, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 admonishes us to rejoice evermore. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Are you rejoicing today? I ask you that question. Answer it yourself quietly in your heart. Are you rejoicing? It's a command. Smile. Don't be grouch. Rejoice. There's much to rejoice in. Well, you say, okay, Pastor, I'll smile. I'll paint my little plastic smile on my face and go around, but inside I'm just miserable as can be. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about deep, inner, abiding joy. Where does that come from? Well, where do wise men get it from? Well, number one, the wise men got it by seeking. You know, you see these signs all over the time at Christmas time. It says, wise men still what? Seek him. And that's very true. But the wise men were seeking. The wise men really were magi. All right, that is, they were stargazers. they observed the stars. But more than that, they were students of Scripture, I believe. I really do believe that. And they were seekers of the truth. And they made it their occupation to know truth, to know the birth of kings and signs in the sky and so forth. They desire to know the truth. You know, and the Bible tells us, it says, when thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart saith unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Are you a seeking person today? Do you have a desire to know the truth? You say, well, I'm past just kind of just making it day by day, floating through life, you know, and making the most of it. Well, no. Do you seek? God says if you're truly seeking, he'll reveal it to you. Do you seek to know God? Do you seek to know salvation? Do you seek to know eternal life? The wise men had joy because they were seekers. Well, we need to be seekers. You know, even us as Christians, God just doesn't want us just to meander through life. He wants us to be seekers of the truth and knowing the truth and then doing it. Secondly, the wise men had joy because they were searchers. Joy came by seeking. Joy came by searching. Now, in Daniel chapter 9, we read of a prophecy of the Messiah's birth. And Daniel even prophesied in his 69 weeks and said at the end of 69 weeks, the Messiah will come. If you multiply a week, which is a period of 7 times 69, you come up to 483 years. You know what? They could have, by searching the Scriptures, knew just about the right time Jesus the Messiah will come. Now, by the way, we don't know. God didn't give us that information for his second coming. We don't know. The Bible says no man knoweth the day nor the hour. So if somebody says to you, Jesus is coming, and they put a date out there, say, you know, that's probably not it, because no man knoweth the day nor the hour. Jesus says, in a time that you think not, I'll come. But he did tell us when he was coming the first time. Look, study Daniel 9 sometime. The wise men were in Persia when Daniel was there. And I think these are descendants of those men, and they meant they probably were studying Daniel's prophecy. And studying Daniel's prophecy and relating that to Numbers 24, where it says a star will rise, they saw that star there. And they said, I bet that's it. I bet that's the birth, sign of the birth of the coming Messiah, the Jewish king. Okay. They were searching. They were looking through the scriptures. You know, the Bible says about the people in Berea, says they were more noble in Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures whether these things were so. Do you search the scriptures? Person here today, maybe you're visiting, maybe you're without Christ. You say, hey, I'm not sure about eternal life. I'm not sure about anything after I pass this life. Can I encourage you? Search the scriptures, what they say. Hey, most wonderful book in the world. Listen, somebody gave me a Quran one time. Okay, I started looking at it and reading it. Quran, Muslim Quran, all right? Which people, everybody praises the Quran. That is such a hodgepodge mess of, I don't know how you get anything out of it. Boy, study the Word of God. It's a wonderful. Wonderful truths in here. Let me give you one, the most quoted one, John 3:16. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You all know it. I trust that you'll search that in other verses and understand that the Bible gives the plan of salvation, that we're all sinners. We're all lost, destined for a horrible eternal hell. But Jesus Christ came into this world as a babe, and the light came into the world to show people the way of salvation. Jesus grew up, died on the cross, what? To redeem us from our sin. He took our penalty. He took our place. And you know, the wise men got tremendous joy because they searched the scriptures. You know, joy just doesn't come by listening to Santa Claus or elves or tinkles or lights on houses or snow and the new fallen snow or sleigh rides or all these things. I don't mind some of that stuff and the music and all that kind of thing. It's a seasonal. It doesn't do anything for me. You know what really does something for me? When you start talking about why Jesus came. And this babe was God. God came from heaven to this earth, born as a baby. That was God. Mary, did you know that was God you're holding? God in human flesh. And he's coming to save us from hell and give us eternal life. That's what gets me excited. That's what gives me joy. Not jingle bells, okay? That's kind of plastic. Hey, this is real, deep, abiding joy. And that comes from knowing the Word of God that reveals all this by searching. Thirdly, the wise men got joy by following. And here it was, that star that they saw, and they started, maybe they were jumping up and down. They saw that star. And there it is, that's the one we saw way back when. There it is again. And now it started moving. And so they followed it. You know, the star represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we following him? Christian, are you following him? That's where you get real joy from. Teenager, are you following him? Young person, are you following him? The Bible says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Jesus told his disciples, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Follow. I'm going to follow the Lord. You know, there's certain joy in just following the Lord, just walking in his steps, do what he wants us to do, walk pleasing to him, obeying him. There's a lot of joy in that. Following Christ, his love, his compassion, his holiness, his giving nature. You know, you can't manufacture joy on the outside. And you know what? If we're without Christ, there's no guarantee of any joy in our hearts. In fact, it says you are all men most miserable, the Bible says. Can I encourage, implore you, if you're not saved this morning, ask Christ to save your soul, and you'll get joy unspeakable, full of glory. All you need to do is simply bow your head and say, dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve to go to heaven. But I believe you died on that cross to save me from my sin, and I accept you now as my Savior. In that moment, in that instant of time, you become a child of God, and you are given eternal life. Well, you talk about joy, that's where real joy comes from. That's where the joy comes from. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He's the morning star. And because of him and the light he brings and the forgiveness he brings and the salvation he brings, you can have that forgiveness of sin. You could have heaven and you could have joy if you accept him. Christian, maybe it's time to rededicate our lives to him. Maybe it's time this Christmas just to make a recommitment and say, Lord, I want to have that joy by seeking, by searching, and by following you with all my heart. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the message that we heard this morning through song, through the narration. Lord, truly, you are the morning star. That light that signals the beginning of dawn, that light that signals the beginning of redemption that has come into the world. And Father, I pray, Lord, that as we examine ourselves, we would understand and realize that we need to accept it personally. Father, I pray for one here. Lord, your Holy Spirit would do your work and speak to that one's heart that needs to be saved. Lord, that needs to accept Christ. Father, do what we can't do, Lord, I pray. And we'll give you the glory for it. Lord, deal with us as Christians as well. Help us to recommit, Lord, to the true meaning of Christmas this morning and rejoice in it as the wise men did. Well, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe there's one here today without Christ, no one looking around. Can I encourage you? I'd like to pray for you. Say, I need to be saved, Pastor. Would you just slip your hand up real quick? Put it up, right up, right down, so I can pray for you. I'm not sure I'm saved. The most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Your eternal destiny hangs in the balance. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure. Pray for me. Just raise your hand right up. Put it up real quick, right back down. I don't usually ask this question, but as a testimony to the Lord, you say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand? I know I'm saved. Raise your hands high. Amen. Wonderful testimony. Dear Father, I pray, Lord, you'd continue to work for maybe one that's not saved here today. Maybe one that needs to recommit their life to Jesus Christ. Lord, may that be true today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song, and Don's going to come and lead us. I'll be right down here in front. If you need